Let us now turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And when you have your Bible opened this morning to this text, I like to keep you to keep your Bible open all the time. I may be showing some verses and Bible references on the screen, but I would like you to verify them, confirm them in your Bible text, so that you will see that what is on the screen is the same as what is in your Bible. I heard that 1 or 2 weeks ago, a brother, Mr. Edwin Tan, was here, and he spoke to you on what we were, what we are, and what we shall be. Coincidentally, this is what I'm going to tell you basically, but in the context of the local church, its people. We shall discuss today the place name of the church, what we are, the people who make up the church, the personnel in the local church, and if we have time, I hope we have, at least to touch on the church is self-supporting, but I think I may not have time to touch on the last one, it is self-propagating. And I suggest this to you, because of the amount of study material I'm going to put on the screen, I suggest that you just open your Bible, look at the text and references referred to, but don't take down notes, because I shall be going quite fast. If you want to take down the notes, if you want to keep a copy of the notes, you can always visit my website at beritabethelang.com. And then what you see here will be on the website. And not only that, you will hear me again. So you have the opportunity to go over the slides, copy the notes, download the notes and copy them, and also listen again if you are not tired of listening to what I'm going to say. Now, as an introduction, let us go back to understand what the church is, its concept, etymologically meaning what actually the word means. Its origin, the word is church comes from the Greek word ekklesia. It is from a verb krisis, which means to call, and a preposition ek, which means out or out of. And therefore, when you combine the root words together, you have a word which means an outcalling. And it occurs 116 times in 113 verses in the New Testament, and never once is it ever used to refer to a building. Never once. The word church refers to a people. A people or an assembly called out from the world by the Lord Jesus Christ unto Him. It is different from the rapture. The rapture is an upcalling. The word church occurs for the first time in Acts chapter 2 verse 42. If the church, the people, was born at Pentecost, Acts chapter 2, when Peter preached and 3,000 souls were saved, they were the original people who formed the church. They believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. So the church would refer to a people, not to a building, to a people from the time of Pentecost right up to the time of the rapture, or in the Greek, the parousia, which is an upcalling. So all those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, from the outcalling of the people to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ from the world, to the time when there will be an upcalling, the rapture of the church to heaven, when among the people of the world who will be left behind, that period from Pentecost to Parousia would consist of people who formed the church, those who believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. So that essentially is the church. The word church is never used of a building. So never use the word church of a building saying that perhaps even I go to church. You are referring to a building. Or perhaps the church is vandalized. These few years we see the church vandalized. The church can never be vandalized. The building can. But the people can never be vandalized, or the church burnt down. It can never be burnt down. The gates of hell cannot prevail against the church. Now, constitutionally, who make up the church? Please note, the church does not refer to the Jews, does not refer to Israel. Israel is not the church, as some people teach. Israel is not Gentiles. Israel is the church of God. And you will see in 1 Corinthians 10, in verse 32, Paul wrote, "Give none offense neither to the Jews," they were a separate entity, "nor to the Gentiles," another separate entity. Gentiles would be those who were not Jews. And the church of God, a separate entity. Now, who would be the church of God? Remember, the church of God is distinct from the Jews, is different from Gentiles. Don't associate them with one another. And it is defined as neither Jews nor Gentiles. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 28. That in the church there is neither Jew nor Gentile, nor bond nor free, and so on. Because in the church we have Jews who have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, Gentiles who have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, and those from the Jews, from the Gentiles, who have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, now form a new identity, the church. That is the church, which consists of Jews who have believed in Christ as distinct from the other Jews, Israel, Gentiles who have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ as distinct from the other Gentiles. These come together because they have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. They are no more Jews, no more Gentiles. They are Christians, and they come from these two groups. So they now become all one in Christ Jesus. Jews, Gentiles, believing in Christ, become one in the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the church. And we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 verse 13 that they have drunk of the Holy Spirit. And Ephesians 5:18, because they have the Holy Spirit in them, we are told they should be filled with the Holy Spirit. They are also people who have been baptized by the Holy Spirit into the body of Christ to form the one body of Christ. And they are all, every one of them who has believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, they have the Holy Spirit in them. Holy Spirit indwells every believer in the Lord Jesus Christ in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 16. Therefore, now we start off with our study of the local church. And our text is taken from 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 2. We are dealing with the local church. Just now we were dealing with the universal church, the church that is in heaven, the church that is invisible, the church that is spiritual, the church that is mystical, the church that cannot be seen. And it would be from Pentecost to Parousia. Now we are talking of the local church in the period that we live in, where we spend our life, when we have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ and spend our life as Christians, living out the Christian life. We are the local church. First of all, note please that it is the church of God. The church of God will of course refer to that one universal church in heaven. When we talk of local church, we are talking of the local representation of what that universal church is. It is a reflection of the universal church. So the local church should be what that universal church is. And that's why we have the local church in Jerusalem, in Antioch, in Corinth, in Ephesus, in Thessalonica, in Philippi. And that's how the church was named at the very beginning. And therefore it is necessary to come to wrestle with this point: how do we name our churches? How do we name them? It says there, unto the church of God which is at Corinth. Now this is how the church at Corinth, the church of God, was named in Corinth. The church in Corinth, or the church at Corinth. That's how it was named at the very beginning. Because it refers to the people. The people who formed the church, who believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, they were staying in Corinth, or in at Corinth. Now look at the seven churches in Asia. You have in the King James Version, there's a wrong translation. You have the church of Ephesus. That's not right in the King James Version. It should be the church in Ephesus, the church in Smyrna, the church in Pergamum, the church in Thyatira, the church in Sardis, the church in Philadelphia, the church in Laodicea. In or at, not of. Why? I'll show you later. We have also in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 1, the saints in Christ Jesus, that will be the church, which are at Philippi. At Philippi. The saints which are at Taiping, that will be the local church. You are the local church. And so we find that there is a local church in a city which represents the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what the local church is for. A mirror, a reflection of what the universal church is all about. Our assembly started with the Fakwa Street Chapel in Penang. It's called Fakwa Street Chapel. Then it went on to Burma Road Hall, Burma Road Gospel Hall. Then Burma Road Gospel Hall spread to other places, and it was called Sungai Nibong Home and Center. Later on, Mr. Daniel, who was an elder there, changed the name to Sungai Nibong Gospel Hall. And today we have Taiping Gospel Hall. Now, why do not we use Fakwa Street Church? Why do not we use Burma Road Gospel Church? Because this word church is so abused and so misused. People of the world today, when you talk of the church, they will always refer the church to a building. And we do not want them to understand the church as a building. The church is a people. And it's not surprising that many of us also may think that a church is a building. It is not a building. It is people. The church is made up of people. And therefore, we have substituted other names in order not to represent the word church by using chapel, hall, center, and so on, to refer to the building where the church meets. More about that, please remember, the local church is to be a replica, a reflection, a mirror of what the universal church is all about. And the universal church is one body consisting of many members who have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ from Pentecost to Parousia. And therefore, the local church is not to be named because the universal church is one. Therefore, the local church is not to be named after a person. For example, in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 12 and 13, if you have your Bibles open, you can just refer to it while I put it on the screen. Everyone says, I am of Paul, I of Apollos, and I of Cephas, and I of Christ. Is Christ divided? It is not right to name a church after Paul, St. Paul's church. Of Apollos, Apollos' church. St. Peter's cathedral, the church of Christ. Now these are names which are not biblical. Is Christ divided? The moment you name your church after St. Peter, St. Peter's cathedral, you are separating yourself from other people who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Is Christ divided? No. You cannot even use the name Christ, the church of Christ. is Christ divided? Many people in various local churches belong to Christ. How come you claim yourself to be the only one to belong to Christ? And so we need to be careful how we name the local church. Not even a practice. For example, chapter 1 verse 13 and 14. Paul says, "Were you baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I baptized none of you but Crispus and Gaius." Some people would not try to name the church after a system. They practice baptism, therefore Baptist church. They practice Presbyterianism, therefore Presbyterian church. They believe in a policy of elders and so on. And, well, Paul says, "I'm glad I did not baptize you. Otherwise, you will name a church after the practice of baptism." We call ourselves brothers and sisters. Therefore, there were some people in the past who say, "Oh, who is this group? We are the Brethren Church." We are not Brethren Church, as separate from all other churches. We are brethren, small b, not with a big B to distinguish ourselves from all others. We are brethren, together with all the others, as we shall see later on. Or any party name. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Were you baptized in the name of Paul? Surely not. Therefore, the local church ideally must not be divided. There must be no local church belt, no local church cult, because Christ is not divided. When you divide Christ into various parts, it's very confusing. The picture is very, very confusing, and you cannot see the Lord Jesus Christ in the churches. Therefore, the church must maintain its oneness. The people who make up the church, who are they? Them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints. Alright? First of all, note that they are sanctified people. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, 11. "Such were some of you, but you are washed, but you are sanctified, but you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of God." They have become saints. Now, such were some of you. Who were those people who are now called saints, sanctified, justified, washed? Who were they before? Verses 9 and 10. If you care to look in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, you'll find that they were drunkards, they were useless people, effeminate, abusers of mankind, and so on. They were fornicators, they were idolaters. Such were some of you. But now you are washed. But now you are justified. But now you are sanctified. Tremendous. The "but" three times repeatedly named. But, but. And so are we. We are all washed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are all sanctified and we are justified. And together with all those who are washed, justified and sanctified, we are saints in the Lord. It says there, "Them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints." Now, "to be" there are words added in the King James Version, but they are printed in italics to indicate that the words "to be" are not found in the original Greek. In other words, "them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called saints." We are called saints, and we don't have to become dead before we could be called saints. Today, saints are only referred to people who are dead. We are living people. We have got many saints here. All of you are saints here. You can address each other as saints after the meeting if you want. Saints so and so. But when you address each other as saints, that is how God looks at you. Because you are sanctified, you are made holy, God looks at you as saints. Make sure. And here the King James translation may be correct. Called to be saints. That if you are saints, you need to be saints. So in a way it's correct that we need to be saints. And that is the problem that we face in our Christian life on earth. That being saints do not make us saintly in our Christian living. We need to be saints, to live our lives as saints. So, they are sanctified people, they are saints, and they are the same as those in every place called upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Today, in reality, we have many groups of so-called local churches. We have many denominations. The Christian church is so divided up by hundreds and thousands of groups, all calling themselves by various names, by various orders, by various systems, and so on, dividing the church into many groups. Now, in all these churches, there may be people who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and these people are saints. They are actual believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, and they form the local church. And they, in the various groups, in the various assemblies, together with us, who claim to have those who are believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, but in reality, we may have those who do not believe in Christ, who may profess to believe in Christ among us. Those of us who have believed in Christ, together with all the others, we are the same as those in every place called upon the name of Jesus Christ. They form the one local church. And this is the glorious truth that we must treasure, that we are not the only ones who are right, that there are many others who may be wrong in naming the churches biblically, but yet in conditionally, there are those who actually are members of the body of Christ, and we need to acknowledge that. And so, one church, universally, but many local churches, and from among these many local churches, you have those who have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ to form one local church. So the local church is a replica of the one universal church. They, together with us, must reflect that oneness in the body of Christ. The heavenly church must be reflected in the local church in the assembly. As I said, it is very sad that the local church today, physically, materially, has been divided into various groups. But we thank God that from among all, there are those who have believed and they still form the local church. Each local church is an independent church, responsible to the Lord Himself. Now, compare the seven churches. In Revelation chapter 1, the Lord Jesus Christ appeared among the seven churches. And you will note that the Lord Jesus Christ stood in the middle. Stood in the midst. I said in the middle, but that's not very correct. The Lord Jesus Christ stood in the midst, meaning that He was not only in the middle, but He is among them. He is in them. The Lord Jesus Christ stood in the midst. In other words, He is the head of the church, and every other local church is responsible to Him and accountable to Him. The church is not accountable to the other church, but responsible to Him. In the case of the seven churches, every church almost has got faults and weaknesses. And it's the Lord who rebuked them for those faults and weaknesses. It is not another church. Another church has no right to point a finger at them. It's the Lord. Each local church is responsible to the Lord. While the church is independent, we must realize the church is also intra-dependent on other churches. In Colossians 4:15 and 16, Paul wrote that letter to Colossus, the church in Colossae, saying, "This letter also read in the church in Laodicea." There was communion, and there was communion between the local churches. And we need to have communion too. For example, the church in Taipei should have communication with the church in Penang, should have communication with other churches in Bidor, in Batu Gaja, and so on. Then, while each church is independent, we must know that churches are intra-dependent. But not only intra-dependent, but also interdependent. Now, that will go beyond our groups, and to acknowledge that there are Christians in other groups. For example, 1 Corinthians 11:16, Paul says to the church in Corinth, "If you people do not, your women do not want to cover their head, let me tell you this. If anyone wants to be contentious about this matter, we have no such custom, nor the churches of God." nor the churches of God. In other words, well, you want to go on with this kind of practice, you go on, but you're responsible. You are responsible unto the Lord. The other churches, they obey the Lord in this custom. And so we find that each church, who are independent, is also interdependent and intradependent. So, we come to the third thing, the personnel in the local church. Who are the leaders in the local church? In Philippians chapter 1 and verse 1, we read, Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus. Again, please note, Paul addressed the Christians in Philippi who were living saints, who were living people, as saints. To the, all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi, with the bishops and deacons. So, there are two groups of people singled out as officers. As leaders of the local church. Who are the bishops and the deacons? Now, these are functional and positional and not positional names to describe the responsibilities of the person. What do I mean? They are bishops and deacons. Today, again, as the word church, bishop and deacon are two words that have been misused and abused. So that today, when we refer to bishop, we have the various ranks of bishop, archbishop, then bishop, and all others. And then we have got other ranks in between, cardinals, and many, many other ranks of officials, and so on. Let us realize that these names, bishops and deacons, are not positional names. But they are functional names to describe what they do. And not what they are. For example, in Acts chapter 20, verses 17 and 18, Paul called the elders of Ephesus together to meet him at Miletus, in verse 17. And he used the word elders. Elders is presbyteros, which means elderly people, senior people. And then, in verse 28, he talked to the same people and he said, you all must oversee the flock properly. Oversee is to be superintendents, bishops, pastors, shepherd the flock. And he referred to the same group of people. In other words, these elders who were called together were bishops, were pastors. They were not directed at any special group of people. And today we find that these names are used to single out certain people in the church to be titles given to them, to the leaders. Bishop so-and-so, pastor so-and-so. In the scriptures, we do not have a singular word referring to any of these titles. There is no such thing as bishop, a bishop, or a elder, or a pastor. It's always bishops, elders, or pastors. Because in the local church, it is not a person being made responsible over the church, but it is a number of people working in the church and among the people of God. So it is different. So again, we do not use bishops and pastors because this name has been much used and abused. But we use elders because elders, well, most of the people who are leaders are elderly people. Alright? But they need not be elderly in age, but matured people. People who are matured and spiritual. Likewise, the deacon. The deacon is not an official title. It means just a servant, a minister, and an attendant at the table. They are servants. They are not officials for us to bow our heads to. So, all these are the leaders in the local church. Bishops and deacons. No one else. Nobody else. Only these two groups are singled out as leaders. they have to fulfill the qualities in 1 Timothy 3:17, 3:1-7, 3:8-13. Now, concerning bishops, the word is used because the job of the bishop is to oversee. Elder, because he is to not a novice in the faith, but he is matured. Pastor, because he shepherds the flock. It is a functional description of the people concerned. And therefore, we read in 1 Thessalonians 5:12, know them that have the rule over you. Know them that have the rule over you. It is not appoint them. Know them. In other words, an elder, or a bishop, or a pastor, is one who is recognized in the task and not appointed to the task. Appointment is by the Holy Spirit, as we read in Acts chapter 20 and verse 28. But it is as the Holy Spirit appoints that person, we recognize, know them that have the rule over you. And that's why we are told, obey them that have the rule over you in Hebrews chapter 13. Right. That will be about the personnel. What about the other members in the local church? Now let us remember that the local church must be self-supporting. In personnel resources, in other words, all the members in the local church who are not elders, deacons, the other members, they must be fully made use of our resources. The recognition of church members. Every member is valuable and gifted. And perhaps at this juncture, you may like to refer to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, because I shall be referring to a number of verses there. Now, in verse 7, we read that every member is given the manifestation of the Holy Spirit. In other words, every member in the local church has a gift, has a very valuable gift. And no one in the Taiping Gospel Hall can say, I have no gift. That is to deny the Holy Spirit and his claim that he has given everyone a gift. Every one of you has a gift. Secondly, because every one of you has given at least one gift, no member is dispensable. Chapter 12, verses 14, verse 16. The foot cannot say to the eye, you are the eye, you are very useful, you see many things. I am the foot, I'm being trodden upon all the time. I'm useless. I cannot do anything. Therefore, it's okay. I don't do anything. I can just stay back. No, you cannot. What happens if all the members of the body were an eye? It would be terrible. Very, very terrible. No. Every member has to play his or her part. You have a gift. Play it out. No member is dispensable. You cannot say, I am not of the body, therefore I can stay out. No member is indispensable. Chapter 12, verse 20, 21. The eye cannot say to the foot, look, you are the only foot, I can do without you, it's okay. You cannot do that. No one can say to anybody else, you are no good in the church. You have no gift. We can just leave you aside. No. Everyone is needed in the church. And that's why in the Taiping Gospel Hall, every member in the assembly, no matter how young you are in the faith, no matter how old you are in the faith, or how old you are in age, you are needed. You are needed. We cannot dispense with anybody. Definitely, there will be some weak people. Paul says in chapter 12, verses 22 to 27, if there are those who are weak, more attention should be given to them. More care should be given to them. And if you realize that there are among you those who need care, who need love, then show it to them. This becomes your gift of ministry to them. Those who are able, this becomes your gift, your ministry to these people who are feeble. Help them. And so we find that all can work together in the church. Don't just leave it to one person. Everyone must work. Everyone is variously gifted. Not everyone has the same gift. 1 Corinthians 12:28-30. Does everyone have this gift? No. God gives to everyone different gifts in different ways and with different degrees too. And so we find that everyone is variously gifted. Now let us realize gifts are given by God as He wills. God the Holy Spirit gives gifts. Chapter 12 verse 11. God the Father gives gifts. Chapter 12 verse 28. And among the gifts that God gives in chapter 12 verse 28 is the gift of helps. Tremendous. If you think that you have no gift, you can be a help to anyone and everyone in the church here. If someone needs your help, give. You will be developing that gift. A matter of helping other people. That is a gift. That is a gift. Gifts are for service, the good of all. No gift is given for self-edification. Gifts are given for the common good. Chapter 12 and verse 7. Gifts do not suggest spirituality or godliness. You know, chapter 1 verse 7 says to the Corinthian church that these people do not fall behind in any gift. They are wonderfully gifted. But look at them spiritually. Chapter 3 verse 3. Paul says, I want to feed you with meat, but you cannot. You are so childish and so carnal. I have got to still give you milk. But never mind. Gifts are not to be equated with spirituality. Don't think that you have a good gift, therefore you must be spiritual. Gifts and spirituality are two different things. Some men are visibly gifted. Now there are some gifts given to the local church, to the church at large, which are to help the local church. And these gifts are specially given by the Lord Jesus Christ. So Christ Himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers. When the Lord Jesus Christ ascended up to heaven, He gave the church at large. All the local churches, not the local churches specifically, but the church at large, prophets, evangelists, pastors and teachers, as well as apostles. Now, what were these gifts for? At the very beginning, apostles and prophets, they were the foundation to build up the church. Ephesians 2:20. We are built up upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets. These were the gifts given at the beginning. Now we do not need these two gifts anymore. Why? Because we already have the fruits of their labors, their Bible. What they have written, they have given to us. So that is become the foundation of the church. It's extension, but we still need the evangelists. The evangelists as well as the pastors and teachers. Evangelists are needed. They go out, they bring people in. Pastors and teachers are people who build up the people who are brought in. Now, evangelists, pastors, teachers are given gifts to the church at large. Not to every local church. No local church has all these gifts. By the church at large, and by the church at large, I mean that God, the Lord Jesus Christ, gives these gifts to any local church who needs them. So that, for example, when the local church is short of an evangelist, they will invite another evangelist from another church over here to preach the gospel, and so on. And so, while no local church has all these gifts, yet the church at large has these gifts, and it's up to the local church to invite these people to come among them, to help them, to minister to them. The utilization of the church members. Now, while the members of the church have different gifts, they must be made use of. How to make use of them? First, the members themselves must avail themselves for the use. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 verse 27. Many gifts, but not all have the same gifts. And among them, as I said, are helps. The first basic important thing is Hebrews 10:25, forsake not the assembling of ourselves together. That is the first important thing. Every member of the church must meet together with the local church. Come together. Then as you come together, try to do something. Be a help in any way. And as you help in any way, you will be able soon to find where and in which area you are good at. And that is your gift. And once you know that gift, develop that gift. So that as we read in 1 Timothy 4:14, neglect not that gift. 2 Timothy 1:6, stir up the gift that's in you. So as you come in, participate, you soon know what your gift is, develop it, and then you will be greatly used of God in the local church. Now, cooperation of the church members. Everyone has a gift. You are not to function independently. You must learn to work together, remembering that the Lord Jesus Christ must be the head, giving him the preeminence because he is the head of the church. And you must accept the appointed leadership of the elders who will administer the functions of the church so that all the members of the church will be able to work properly. So obey them that have the rule over you. Hebrews 13:17. Then extend to the functional membership of the others. Know that there are other people who have gifts, and you cannot just take over all other gifts. There are other people who can work. There are other people who are gifted. Use them. Give them opportunity to function. And above all, abase yourselves in humble stewardship. Do not be arrogant. Do not be proud. But be humble. Work together with other people. Show love. That is the teaching of 12, 25, 26 and 13, 4 to 7. Love is very important. Show affection, show love to one another. Alright, now I have no time. I need to stop here because of time. But very quickly, I just give you the idea of what is to be expected. And if you want to know more, go to my website. We need to also consider our financial resources of the local church. The supply of self-sufficient funds. For a local church to exist, it must have self-sufficient funds. And these funds are to maintain the local assembly in their normal administration, to help those who are poor from among them, to minister to the Lord's servants. 1 Corinthians 9:7 to 14, we read of those people who go to the front to war. They would be the missionaries, evangelists, preachers. Make sure that we have a fund especially to have fellowship with them. Planters, the people who build up the church, the ministers, the church planters, shepherds, the elders, the teachers, all these, we need to support them in order to be self-sufficient financially. And to meet fellowship appeals with liberality. There are other churches that need our help, and if we are able to help them so that they also can go on with their projects. Self-sufficient funds. And the source of our funds, where do we get our money? By conducting fund fairs? By borrowing from the bank? Members should commit to give as Christ givers. Members are commanded to give in grace. Members should calculate to give gracefully, proportionately, according to purpose, according as the Lord prospers them. So members are counted upon to give graciously and not grudgingly. For the local church to function, you must give. And all members are responsible for that. So it is self-propagating. The church by itself will never grow. But the church that is functioning will grow. It must be able to propagate. Through expansion, it must be a growing church. As we read in Ephesians chapter 4, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So there must be growth in our local church, in maturity, in ministry, in stability, and in unity. These are things that leaders must look into for a church to grow. And through extension, The church must not only be growing, the church must be going. There is no excuse for people to find churches today. The church should find them and bring them in to the church. With a sense of vision, you can do so. With a sense of mission, with a sense of passion, that by all means you may save some, with a sense of action. So through all this, if you have this vision, then the church will grow and the church will go. So in conclusion, responsibilities of being a full-fledged independent local church towards God. The church must be God-glorifying, Christ-centered, Spirit-stimulating and Bible-based. If you want to turn to choose a church, choose this kind of church. Towards self, it must be self-supporting, self-propagating, self-governing. In summary, how is the church organized as revealed in the Bible? Christ must be recognized as the head of every local church. The Bible is the only written creed for each local church, not other things to be added. Each local church is autonomous and self-governing. No organization tie between local churches. No organization larger than local churches. Local churches appoint their own plurality of elders. And so, be careful of subversives. Now, while I said that just now, we must have this fellowship with all other churches, let us also be careful those who come into our church to subvert. Receive them not, neither bid them God speed. So, in conclusion, we have touched on responsibilities of being a full-fledged independent church towards God, towards self, towards subversives, towards others. Reach out to sinners with the gospel. Sister churches in consideration, consultation and communion, so that you can come together for fellowship, such as those who name the name of the Lord, greetings and salutations. So, grace be unto you. And now, may the grace of God and the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit with you all. Amen. I've rushed through, but if you have missed anything, you can always download the notes from their website. Thank you very much, and the Lord bless.